Okay. Father, we just want to commit this morning, Lord, into your hands, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Speak to us. I humble myself before you this morning, and I just ask, Lord, that you would use me, you know, to speak to your children this morning. Lord, let them not see me, let them see Jesus. I pray that, Lord, that you would have a word, you know, for each and every one of us here, Lord, that you will speak to our situation, that you will reveal yourself to us. Thank you, Father. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us, O God. We need your presence, Lord, more than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you were here last week? Okay, that's a good show of hands. I'm going to try and build on what Michael shared with us last Sunday. Last Sunday he was talking to us about the command of God, which says, you shall have no other gods before me, says the Lord. You know, taken from Exodus, I believe. And I just want to lay a bit of a foundation in terms of what God has laid on my heart to share with us today. I'm going to be talking about God as a consuming fire. And I believe that it kind of, flows in with what Michael shared with us last Sunday. A quick question, to get us started. What would you say, how would you define fire? Burning, heat, okay. Destroys, okay. Purifies. You're talking about the characteristics, I guess. There are three characteristics of fire. I think one is heat. Another one is fuel. And then I think you need oxygen, for fire to ignite and to combust. And fire is like, fire is like a process, where all these things, come together and create a combustion. So, for instance, if you put something in front of fire, if you put a leaf in front of fire, for example, the fire doesn't have a choice but to burn that leaf because it's its nature. Fire naturally burns. It's kind of like a picture, of saying, when we say God is a consuming fire, what do we mean? Because fire is something that will naturally burn whatever is in its path. And I just thought, it's when we say God is, a consuming fire, we're saying God is holy. We're saying God, he's distinct. And we're saying that, he's jealous. That he's jealous for his name. That's why, what Michael shared with us, last Sunday, where he's saying, God was saying to the children of Israel, I brought you out from Egypt to myself. You shall have no other gods before me. And then he goes on to say, you shall not bow down to anything, in the likeness of anything that is under heaven above. And then he concludes by saying, because the Lord your God is a jealous God. Praise the Lord. So just to get us, going, I'm going to turn to the scriptures, if you don't mind. If you can turn with me to Exodus chapter 19. I'm just going to read a few verses from Exodus chapter 19 through to chapter 20, just to bring, you know, a few thoughts about God revealing himself to the children of Israel. Exodus chapter 19, I'll read from verse 10. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Let them be ready, for the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds around the people, saying, Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, and he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow, whether man or beast." Wow. "He shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near to the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. He said to the people, "Be ready for the third day, and do not come near your wives." Then it came to pass on the third day, the morning, that there were thunderings, lightnings, and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people to the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And the blast of the trumpet was long and became louder and louder. And Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai, on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called to Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. I'm going to jump very quickly to chapter 20, verse 18. If you follow with me, please. It says, "Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpets, the mountain smoking afar off. And they said to Moses, 'You speak with us, and we will hear. Let not God speak with us, lest we die.' And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to you to test you, that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin.' So the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was." Praise the Lord. Church, I believe that, you know, God wants to reveal himself, you know, to us as a consuming fire. You know, this is who God is, you know, and it gives a bit of context to what we shared last Sunday, you know, because before God gave the Ten Commandments, you know, to the children of Israel, he revealed himself as a consuming fire. So much so that the people were like, you know, "We don't want to talk to God. You know, you talk to God on our behalf and come and tell us." But God's purpose in doing that is not to make us afraid as his people, but so that we can have a proper sort of, you know, reverence, you know, for who he is. You know, sometimes, you know, because God has brought us near to himself, we can become very familiar, you know, that we lose the sense of who we're dealing with. You know, so God was showing me that, you know, he is a consuming fire. And, you know, even Jesus is a consuming fire, you know. And I was like, what? You know, is it really true? But I'm going to take us through some scriptures today just to show that from Genesis to Revelation, God has revealed himself consistently as a consuming fire. And it's not for the world that he does that first. He does that for his people. So that's the purpose, you know, he says, when the people were saying to Moses, don't speak to us. Speak to us, but don't let God speak to us lest we die. Moses had to correct them and reassure them and say, look, do not be afraid because God has come to test you so that his fear, that is his reverence, his respect may be before you that you may not sin. One of the things that struck me as I was actually going preparing this message was that even though the people saw this Mount Sinai, it didn't stop them. When Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, it didn't stop them from dabbling into idolatry and finding other gods. So what it means basically is that, you know, we have to come to a place where God for us is not just when we can see something visible, like fire, but actually that when God withdraws himself and there's nothing dramatic happening, that's when the real test comes. You know, is God really number one? Is he really the only true God, you know, in our lives? So, he wants to, when we say that, you know, that God is a consuming fire, what do we mean? We mean that God is holy. We mean that he is set apart, that he is awesome. We mean that he is glorious in holiness and that he is fearful in praises. That there is no one like him. We sang it in a song this morning. There is no one like him. He is distinct. He is God all by himself. And he is a jealous God. Exodus chapter 20 verse 4, you know, says, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, and showing mercy to thousands who love me and keep my commandments. And I believe, you know, to really understand this, we have to see that this is something that God has done all through the Bible. So someone might be saying, well, this is Old Testament. Even in the New Testament, God has revealed himself as the consuming fire. Moses had a revelation of God as a consuming fire in the burning bush. So before Moses started leading the people and the passage that we just read, Moses had a revelation. He saw a bush that was burning, but that was not burnt. And that experience changed his life. God wants us to have the same experience of him, where, you know, we fear him, we reverence him, we stand in awe of him. Yes, he's our Father, he loves us. He has brought us near. We are part of his family, just like he redeemed the children of Israel. But when we lose that sense of that God is a consuming fire, a lot of things happen. We can do things, and then when God disciplines us, we are kind of, you know, surprised. He wants to show us that this is who he is. Elijah and the children of Israel had the same experience. You know, I think Pastor Glenn shared with us a couple of months ago about, you know, the experience on Mount Carmel, you know, where Elijah came and asked the people, why are you worshiping Baal? Why are you halting between two opinions? Make up your mind. And God kind of showed himself that he is a consuming fire. When the people of, you know, that were worshiping Baal, you know, they did everything, they cut themselves, they, you know, did everything to show that Baal was the true God, but nothing happened. But when Elijah prayed, The Bible says, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Let him be God. So this God that we're talking about, he is the God that answers by fire. He reveals himself as the God that answers by fire. One of the things as well, you know, is that his fire made the people to say, look, truly, the Lord, he is God. They all fell on their feet, on their knees and said, the Lord, he is God. That's what I believe, you know, that God wants to bring us as a church back to that place of reverence, back to that place of recognizing that God is our Father. God has brought us into his family through his Son, Jesus Christ. But he is also a consuming fire. I'm going to show you as we go through today that even in the New Testament, the same thought is consistent. And it has to do with the fact that God is the only one who deserves worship. He is jealous for his name. You know, he doesn't want any rival, you know, anything to be taking his place as the only true God in the life of his people. Even when Jesus was in a wilderness being tempted by Satan, Satan said, you know, just bow down and worship me and I will give you, you know, everything. What was Jesus' response? Anyone? What was Jesus' response? You're not sure. Man shall not live by bread alone. Yes, that was one. But the one I'm looking for is... Let me open to it. Just... Matthew 4. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 4, verse 10. It says, Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only thou shalt serve. It's kind of the same, sorry. It's kind of the same, you know, theme. You know, that God, the reason why God reveals himself as a consuming fire is because he is the only one who deserves worship. He will not share his glory with another. You know, so even when Jesus was on earth, the one thing that Satan craves is worship, which is only due to God. And so God revealed himself, you know, in the Old Testament, so that the people will reverence him, so that the people will fear him. Not to be afraid of him, but to fear him. Two different things. To be afraid of God means you're just afraid. You know, you're afraid of what he will do to you, but you're his child. You know, we sang it, you know, this morning. We are a chosen generation. We know who we are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, the Bible says you have crossed over from death to life. You have crossed over from judgment. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So it's not about God wanting to scare us, even though it's scary. It's about God revealing himself to his people so that his people would not go after other gods, because he's the only one who deserves our praise. He is the only one who deserves our worship. Thank you, Jesus. So, this message of, you know, God being a consuming fire is also echoed in the Psalms. Psalm 68, verse 3, for instance, says, a fire goes before him, or it says, Let the, thank you, Jesus. It says, as smoke is driven away by the wind, so drive them away. That's talking about God arising. It says, arise, O God, let your enemies be scattered. There's a fire that goes before God. You know, when God, you know, appears, you know, there's a story in the Bible where when he appeared, for instance, to you know, Samson's parents, you know, and he said, look, you know, I said, oh, let's bring him an offering. Let's bring him an offering. What did he do? He revealed himself in a fire. He consumed the sacrifice that they presented. So it's something that God has done consistently. The one that really shocks me, you know, the most is when Elijah, after what happened in Mount Carmel, there's a story that is told in 2 Kings where, you know, people come to him and said, you know, they're coming to arrest him. You know, they're coming to arrest Elijah. And Elijah says, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And, you know, it happened. So it's like he's saying that God is a consuming fire, but if you're open to him and you humble yourself, that fire will purify you. That fire would have a positive effect on you. But if you're rebellious and go against God, that fire will consume you. So the fire has, you know, a redemptive element, but it also has a judging element. So Elijah says, you know, to the people that came to arrest him in 2 Kings, you know, chapter 1, he says to the first captain who came with 50 people to arrest him, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you. And it happened. Then a second group of people came, tried to do the same thing. And he said, you say I'm a man of God. If I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you. And it happened. Well, I really admire the third captain who came. You know, he came humbly. He said, oh man of God, have respect for my life. And he pleaded with Elijah, you know, that have respect for my life, you know. And then God spoke to Elijah and said, go down with him and he will not hurt you. And what that shows me is that God is so awesome, but how we come to him is what matters. If we come, you know, with an attitude to, you know, that we want to come and go against his plan, go against his will, there is a consuming fire. But if we come with humility, with repentance, because everything that he does is to draw his people back to himself, he will spare us. And that's what happened to the third captain who came with his 50 men, with humility. He wasn't coming to kill the servant of God. And therefore, the same fire that consumed the first two captains didn't consume him, because he came with a humility, with a respect for God that meant that his life was spared. That's one of the things that really, when you read, you know, the Bible, God is the same. Do you believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yes. So if he was a consuming fire in Exodus, is he a consuming fire today? Yes. Praise the Lord. I believe that God is the same. You know, the Bible says a fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. Psalm 97 verse 4 or 5. Isaiah had the same experience of God and revelation that God is a consuming fire. And I want to take us there for a minute. Just please follow me in your Bible, and I believe that God will speak to us as we go through these scriptures. Because everything I'm telling you, you can check me out, you know, in the Bible. You can go and find out for yourself. If what I'm not saying is not in line with the scripture, throw it away. So the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lifted high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. That's the holiness of God. Isaiah saw a vision of God. When in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw a vision of God sitting upon the throne. And the Bible says, above it stood a seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. With two, he flew. And the one cried to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." That's what this is about. He is holy. He is holy. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah said, "Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew, having in his hand a live coal that he had taken from the tongs of the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your mouth." Hallelujah. "Behold, this has touched your mouth." And with it he said, "Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." Hallelujah. Isaiah had an encounter with God as a consuming fire. So much so that, you know, he felt unworthy. He knew he was a sinner. You know, when he saw the holiness of God, the glory of God, it was so overwhelming that he said, "Woe is me, I am undone." But what did God do? God sent an angel to clean his mouth with a live coal. And that transformed him and enabled him to be able to go as a messenger of God to the people of Israel. That's what God wants each and every one of us to have. An experience with God that changes us, that transforms us, so that when God begins to say, "Who will go for us?" Because Elijah began to, after that, his mouth was cleansed, he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." That did not happen until he had a revelation of God as a consuming fire. The same thing happened in the New Testament. You know, when the apostles were waiting in the upper room after Jesus rose from the dead, they were waiting because God told them to wait until he sent the promise of his Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, what happened? Tongues of fire appeared on everyone that received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, God is always revealing himself as a consuming fire. They were so consumed that when they went out onto the street, they were speaking in tongues. They were just, you know, people thought they were drunk, because God came down and filled his people with his fire. Praise the Lord. I think you may be here today, you know, thinking or feeling unworthy. But let's take a leaf out of Isaiah's book. God revealing himself to his people as a consuming fire is to cleanse us, is to purify us. You know, one of the reasons why God does that is because as his people, we fall short. Even though God reveals himself to us tomorrow, today, you know, if we're not consistently following him, very soon we might find ourselves from the very same place where God redeemed us from. So God has to keep revealing himself, and he wants us to draw near to him so that he can change us, he can mold us into what he wants us to be. Just like the children of Israel, one thing that strikes me is that even for the children of Israel, it is the mercy of God. You know, We're no better than them. The only difference is that Jesus has come. You know, Jesus has come. He has laid down his life on the cross for us. And he has sent his Holy Spirit. They didn't have the Holy Spirit the way that we have it. So, actually, you know, God is expecting a lot more from us because only very few people had the Holy Spirit under the old covenant. And, you know, Lamentations 3 kind of comes to mind where it says, "If it is because of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed." Because God is a consuming fire. The only thing that stands between us and being consumed is the cross. Fire consumes anything that is in its path. And the only safe place, you know, is where the fire has already burned. But because Jesus and his blood is on the mercy seat, that's why even when we fall short, we can keep coming to him because he looks at us through the blood of Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. God, the second reason why God wants to reveal himself as a consuming fire is to refine us. And that is revealed in Malachi chapter 3. It talks about, you know, the day of the Lord. And one of the things that it says is that God will purify the Levites. Are there any Levites in the house? Are there any priests in the house? We are priests of the Lord, aren't we? You know, the Bible says that we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Now look at what God says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire," hallelujah, "like a launderer's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord a offering of righteousness." I'll pause there. God wants to reveal himself as a consuming fire to refine us, to purify us, to make us ready for the return of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does that through trials. He does that through what we go through. You know, nobody can endure the day of his coming because he's so glorious. You know, the disciples, you know, the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, they had an encounter at the Mount of Transfiguration where the glory of Jesus was so, you know, awesome that they couldn't even look at it. You know, his clothing was transformed like the sun. That's just a glimpse of what it's going to be like when Jesus returns. He's going to be so glorious. For those who believe in him, it is only by grace that we can stand and we can be received by him. But for those who don't believe in him, it's going to be judgment. The consuming fire is going to be judgment. And so Malachi is writing here, basically encouraging, you know, the children of Israel and saying, look, you know, who can endure, you know, the day of his coming? Because he's going to refine his people. And that's why he allows us to go through difficult times. That's why he, you know, because if we don't go through difficult times, if everything is going well, just like the children of Israel, we can start to stray away from him. But he uses the things that we go through, the trials that we go through, you know, to refine us, to purify us, so that we will be like pure gold, pure silver. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another thing is that God, after just like what happened with Isaiah, God wants to use us. Amen. Do you believe God wants to use you? God wants to use us. But before he can use us, we have to know him as a consuming fire. I give you an example. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 20, the Bible talks about Jeremiah. He had such an encounter with God, but when he was going and talking to the children of Israel, it was all bad news, because he was telling them that they're going to go into captivity. And it wasn't a very popular message. And Jeremiah was like, you know, this thing is not going anywhere. And he wanted to stop preaching, because his message was of one of, you know, judgment. The people are going to go into captivity. But what did Jeremiah say? Jeremiah said that God's word is so like fire in my bones, that even if I want to stop talking about him, I can't help it. I can't help it. So when we have an experience of God as a consuming fire, we can't help but tell others about Jesus, because his word becomes, we become consumed with his word, because we know what's coming. We know that judgment is coming for those who do not repent. And so that propels us, that even if he makes us unpopular, to be someone who is telling people about Jesus, we know that judgment is coming. But the good news is that today is the day of salvation. That if you call on Jesus today, you will be saved. And so that helps us. You know, Jeremiah had to keep preaching because he couldn't help it. When we have an experience of God as a consuming fire, we can't help but tell him, because we know that if we don't tell others, he will require his blood, the blood of those people, from our hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's word was like a consuming fire in Jeremiah's heart. He could not hold it back. I believe that God wants his word to be burning in us. To be burning in us so much that we cannot help but share what he has done in our lives. Testify to what he has done in your life. God is looking for a people who will tremble at his word, who would hear his voice and say, no, I must be obedient to the voice of my master. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. I know what he has done in my life, and I cannot help but tell others of what he has done in my life. When last did you read the scriptures and tremble at his word and feel like, God, I need to do something? That's what God wants for us. He doesn't want us to just be casual and just take his grace for granted. You know, you're here today because someone dared to tell you about the Lord. In the same vein, when we have that experience of him, we would dare to step out in faith to tell others about him. Praise the Lord. To round up, you know, how do we go about coming to this revelation of him as a consuming fire? Anyone? Any ideas? Ask him into our hearts. Having an intimate relationship with him. Thank you. Reading the word. Amen. I have one here. God has said in his word that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We need to present ourselves daily to him as a living sacrifice. And the living sacrifice will be consumed by the love of God, by the fire of God. Paul the Apostle said, in view of everything that God has done for you, in view of everything that God has done for us, let us present our bodies as a living sacrifice. For the children of Israel, it was Moses had to remind them of the covenant that they made with God on Mount Sinai. But for us, we have to remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. And when we remember all that he has done, all the mercy that he has shown us, all the goodness that he has shown us, we have no choice but to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And when we do that, God wants us to be consumed with Jesus Christ. You know, the difference is that, you know, under the Old Testament, the animal sacrifice, they are killed and they are placed on the altar. And the fire burns them. Anybody can tell me what's the problem with living sacrifices? They walk off the altar. You know, living sacrifices means we have to surrender ourselves. Even when we don't feel like it. You know, the Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So that means we have to keep coming. You know, because as living sacrifices, when God begins to turn on the heat, because he's a consuming fire, we want to run away. When we're going through a difficult time or when life is unpleasant, we want to withdraw from God. But that is the time to come before God and say, God, I'm here. I'm here for you. You've done so much for me. I present my body as a living sacrifice. I want to serve you. And the Bible says that when we do that, he will consume us. He will begin to renew our mind so that we begin to see things as he sees them. So even when you're feeling the heat from his fire, know that it is for your good. Know that it's for our good. Praise the Lord. The second way that we can respond is to embrace the trials that we go through. When you go through difficult times, the Bible says in 1 Peter that is working for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it says, though you've been going through a difficult time, through various trials, this has come that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise when our Lord Jesus Christ is revealed. There is a day of reward coming, amen? So when we're going through difficult times, let us know that it is for our good. God is refining us. God wants to make our faith stronger. When we go through difficult times, you know when God has brought you through, you can stand and say, I've been there. And God came through for me. And so when your brother or your sister is going through the same, you can encourage them. That's what God wants to do. You know, he wants to purify us through the trials that we go through, to equip us for better service, and ultimately to prepare us for the Lord Jesus' return. Praise the Lord. We need to do business with Jesus. Our Lord is a consuming fire. He wants to cure our lukewarmness. And that is in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18 to 21, where Jesus revealed himself as a consuming fire, and he says to the church, I wish that you were hot or cold. Jesus wants his church to be red hot for him because he is a consuming fire. You know, in Revelation as well, you know, he talks about his eyes being like a blazing fire. So this picture of God as a consuming fire is all true. The Old Testament and the New Testament. He wants us to come with him because he is our first love. He is our first love. Remember when you first gave your heart to Jesus, how excited you were, how you wanted to tell everybody, how, you know, it's like you've discovered something and you couldn't help it. God wants to bring us back to that place where we're like children. We just love on him. Because his fire is burning in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Finally, he wants us to obey his voice. When we have a revelation of him as a consuming fire, just like Isaiah did, just like Elijah did, just like Moses did, and all the people in the Bible that we read about, it makes us want to obey his voice. We start to take his word very seriously. And I'm going to read in conclusion, Hebrews chapter 12, just to show you that God is consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he revealed himself as a consuming fire in the New Testament. So in Hebrews chapter 12, it's like a culmination of the writer trying to encourage the Hebrew believers not to go back to Judaism, not to go back to their comfort zone, not to go back to the world. And so he even describes what happened to the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. And he says, you have not come to a mountain that may be touched. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. You have not come to a mount that can be touched or burned with fire, or and to blackness and darkness, and to the sound of a trumpet, and to the voice of words, that those who heard it begged that they could not endure it anymore, that God should stop speaking to them. And it's as if even a beast touches it, it shall be stoned, alluding to the passage I read at the beginning. And then verse 22 says, you have come to Mount Zion, hallelujah, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, hallelujah, whose names are registered in heaven. Is there someone here whose name is registered in heaven? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. To the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. We have come to Jesus. We have come to the cross. We have an experience that is slightly different from what the children of Israel had, but God hasn't changed. And I'll just read the last part of Hebrews chapter 2 so you can see. It says, see that you do not refuse him. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more then shall we escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Wow. Whose voice shook the earth. The voice of God shook the earth and is still shaking the earth even to this day. He is awesome. And he said, he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now, yet this once more indicates that the removal of those things that are being shaken and of those things that are made, that only those things that cannot be shaken may remain. And what is our response? It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, the only thing that cannot be shaken is God's kingdom. All the kingdoms of this world will be judged. Everything that you see, all the nice, glorious buildings and cars and all the things that we admire and, you know, everything will be destroyed. But the kingdom of God will last forever. And it says, in view of this, let us have grace, that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. Our God is a consuming fire. Let us worship him with reverence because he is worthy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If God has ministered to you, you know, through this message and you want prayer, if I can have, you know, the band back just to play. God wants to reveal himself as a consuming fire. If you want prayer, or if you want to respond to this word, this is the opportunity. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, He wants to reveal himself to you. I'm going to give an opportunity. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, please indicate by a show of hand, and we can pray for you. Jesus is here. He wants to forgive you. He wants to have mercy on you. He wants to save you. The Bible says that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him, the world will be saved. Thank you, Jesus.